because nobody is ever satisfied with just one.
Left for McNabb, bottom of the circle, from the corner, he saucered in front, Stone scores! Flips it in out of midair on a centering pass by McNabb.
We're back with another helping of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
5 seconds to go. Faber, another shot blocked on the outside. 2-1 goes across the slot, and the game is over. Vegas survives and marches on to the second round.
Streaming at lvsportsnetwork.com and live from the Richard Harris Law Firm Studios, it's Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
If you listen to the VGK Insider Show, you have opportunities to go see the Vegas Golden Knights. And we are sending somebody to Game 5 tomorrow night just because they qualified through listening to this program. And another opportunity through our playoff ticket qualifier is taking place right now. The winner will get two medium classic combos from Porta Subs, your neighborhood sandwich shop, and enter a draw for a couple of tickets to Game 7 against Edmonton. I'm not even going to throw the legal if necessary. Mm-hmm. Game 7 against Edmonton. You have a chance to win those tickets if you call right now, 702-876-1340. Which caller will we take to qualify?
Obviously caller number 7.
Caller number 7 for a chance to win tickets to Game 7. At the very least, you're going to get a couple of two medium classic combos from Porta Subs, your neighborhood sandwich shop. I don't know what happened to Chapman. Did you hear when the intro was going? There was a scream, like a yell, like he dropped something in his hand or banged his knee or something. I hope he's all right while he's answering those phones.
Time will tell, I guess.
Vegas and Edmonton, Game 5 tomorrow. First time the Golden Knights will face elimination. It was so strange in 2023. Golden Knights didn't have to experience a must-win game to keep their season alive. They will have to win three in a row, which they did against Minnesota, but they have to win three games in a row with their backs against the proverbial wall.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you kind of referenced it in 2023 as good as the Golden Knights were, they never were in a position where they have to win to keep their season alive. And that was part of what made that team incredibly special. But it is also rare. There are mountains you have to climb, adversity you have to face in a long playoff run and hoping for and, you know, trying to win another championship. And for the Golden Knights, the first opportunity to extend their season beyond just the next game comes tomorrow. And, you know, if they can play the right way and if they can play, as Bruce Cassidy said, harder and better for longer stretches, they have a good chance of extending this one to six games. And then you start to build a little bit. You start to have some questions pop up for the Edmonton Oilers. And the next thing you know, you're back here for a game 7.
We were thinking the other side when the Golden Knights were facing the Minnesota Wild in round number 1. Where you, in an elimination game, try and get a multi-goal lead as early as you can and break their will. Like, it was a good run. We qualified. Yeah. It's not going to be able to come back. I like what Bruce said in hour number 1 from his availability after the Golden Knights returned to Vegas earlier today. Put Edmonton in a position. Their season can't end, but they have other opportunities, another chance if they lose game 5. Put them in a position where they go, we'll get them next time.
Yeah.
And take advantage of that and then roll it out and try to be even better in game number 6.
There's margin for error for the Edmonton Oilers. And for the Golden Knights, you're looking at a position where you've got a red line, right? Like, you've got to leave it all on the table. You have to empty the tank, so to speak. So if you can get to the Oilers early, there's a potential there. And I'm not, like Bruce said, you never know really what's going to go through the mind of a team that has three opportunities to eliminate an opponent. But, you know, if it's not going your way, if the game's not unfolding, if you don't have it that night, you might be conserving energy for a game number 6, a secondary opportunity to close things out on home ice. So, you know, for the Golden Knights, the start, as Bruce talked about earlier, is going to be incredibly important. It's imperative that the Golden Knights bring the intensity in the first 10 minutes of that game to set the standard, set the pace, and hopefully find a couple of goals.
Whatever you do to bring good vibes to the Golden Knights, whether you're going to the game or you're watching on TV or you're listening to the radio, as listeners right now, we got to do it tomorrow night. And coming up in a couple of minutes, we're going to introduce you to somebody who I think has a real good influence on the vibe meter, can really turn it in the Golden Knights' favor. That's a special guest. Never been on the show before.
No.
We're highly appreciative that this is going to happen. Quite frankly, I'm shocked. A little bit nervous.
Yes.
But just as shocked that this person is going to join us on the VGK Insider Show. And if they are on board and thinking positively, able to channel it and create a wave of influence of good vibes, then jump on board. So that's coming up in a couple of minutes. Flush the game for or turn the page? Interesting action answer from Bruce Cassidy. At this point of the season, it is so much just about the result. And once you get into tomorrow night, it does just become about the result.
Yeah.
But between now and puck drop tomorrow, you got to take something and learn or channel the experience of game four in which you were blank 3-0 and use it to some kind of beneficial effect.
Yeah, you can't flush any game.
Some people would be on that.
I understand that, but I don't think you can, because there's value in the lessons you can take out of game four, right? Like, there's value in, you know, looking at the Golden Knights and, you know, the lack of punch offensively and where the Edmonton Oilers found success and where the Golden Knights, you know, struggled to get to the inside. There's value to pull from that. And as much as you reinforce good habits, as much as you want to reinforce the aspects of the game the Golden Knights excel at, there's value in looking at an opponent in how they were able to shut you down, and understanding you've got to win three in a row, understanding that you have to win to keep your season alive. You've got to use that to your advantage and be better for longer in game number five.
I think how things went down in game four determines whether you rip it up and toss it in the garbage can or flush it down the toilet, or whether you take something and learn from it. If it's a lopsided result, you just forget about that thing because these teams are so even that that's more of a one-off. Because it was closer on the scoreboard, didn't feel like that at times, but it was within reach. If Vegas could have broken through and got that goal and put some pressure on Stuart Skinner, it was within reach. So how do you do things a little bit better tomorrow night than occurred last night? And just got a text from Brian McCormick, who's really excited. Says, can't believe you got Weird Al Yankovic to come on the show. Weird Al is not. But Alec Martinez was on 100% Hockey. He is a Weird Al Yankovic fan.
I love Weird Al. Yeah. I didn't know that. No, that's awesome, though.
But let's get the positive vibes rolling towards tomorrow night. And it was interesting because in the sports world right now, you got the Stanley Cup playoffs, you have the NHL draft lottery, and worldwide, this is a lot's happening right now. Take for example, like Conclave.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know whether you guys were following the election selection of a new pontiff. But that took place the other day with Leo earning the honors, the first American Pope in charge of and head of the Catholic Church. And what does the pontiff do in his first official act in charge of the Catholic Church? Attends a VGK game. It was game two. I looked down the stands, and there is, it's not His Excellency. I did some research in the last 10 minutes. The Pope, Leo, walking down towards his seats, third row, behind Aiden Hill. And I was just as shocked. People were taking pictures with him. And his Holy Father was so gracious. And here he is. Leo, the Pope, head of the Catholic Church. Now, we're joking here. Your name's really David, but you were dressed up.
My name is David, but you can call me Papa.
Papa. Okay, we'll go Papa. Because I also don't want to offend, I probably already have.
You for sure have.
Church.
100% you have offended people.
Well, Dave and I are in this together because he pulled it off. Well, people were stopping him in the aisle to get pictures all the way to their seats. So Dave, we saw you. I thought it was so cool that it was the day of the conclave and the selection of the Pope. What made you do that, and how do you pull that together?
Well, you know, I bought the costume on Amazon about a week before, and I just had it in my house. I didn't know when I was going to wear it, but when I woke up that morning, I'm from Chicago. So when I woke up that morning and I saw that the Pope was from Chicago, I couldn't believe it. And a couple of my friends that work with the Knights basically told me, they're like, Dave, you got to wear it. I was checking in with them before the game because I had the Pope's staff, too. And I wanted to make sure it was okay if I brought it. And ultimately, we decided not to, that I'd have to leave that in the Pope-mobile.
So what was that experience like for you when you got to the arena dressed as the Pope and you started kind of meeting Golden Knights fans who wanted to take pictures with you?
I mean, that's the thing. I was not expecting it to go the way it went. I took, I would guess, between 300 and 400 pictures.
Wow.
And I had Edmonton fans, too. My friends were trying to get me to not take pictures with the Edmonton fans. But I did it. And even after the game, after we lost, you know, that was a heartbreaker. And there was nothing I would have liked more for them to score a goal, you know, that overtime winner with me standing in the background. But after the game, when Edmonton fans were coming up to me, I told them, I was like, you know, congratulations on your win tonight. But not even I can let Connor McDavid win a Stanley Cup.
How do you get?
Oh boy,
are those the church's seats back there? Because you were third row behind the net.
I got those on AXS, and you know I got them right before the game. Actually, you know, it was a 20-minute delayed start, so I bought them after the regular start time. And you know, the people in front of me, they told me they were devout Catholics, but they thought it was hilarious and funny. And I said, you know, if you're a good Catholic, you'll trade seats with me right now. Because the Pope should not be in row three. I mean, come on.
Should not be in row three at all. Like, even if you're not the real deal, you're on that day and you got a resemblance. I'm going to tell you that, Dave. I'm giving you front row just for karma.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the Knights, we're in talks. My agent's in talks with the Knights to, you know, bring me into the game tomorrow. So we'll figure it out.
Do people recognize you? Because
everywhere. I got phone calls from people that I haven't talked to in 10 years the next day and that night. Like, people were like, did I just see you on TV?
It was viral. It went viral.
Well, then at the end of the first period, I went up to Hyde Lounge, and Chapman, Tommy Ippolito, told me to say hello for him.
Oh, I love Tommy.
But he gave me a bottle of tequila, and we were walking around handing it out, telling people it was holy water.
Oh, that is just pure, beautiful, fun Vegas. On day of conclave, selection of the new Pope, and you're at the game in Hyde Lounge, like the one of the most fun places to ever enjoy a sporting event or a VGK game with Tommy Ippolito, and giving out the holy water. Good for you, buddy.
I'll tell you what, I wasn't going to drink that night, and I think I left Park MGM High Limit at about 5:30 in the morning after playing baccarat for a while. I think I won about 20 hands in a row.
Did you stay in costume the whole night?
I've been in costume for 4 days.
Really?
I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. Oh. I was wearing it. I was wearing it playing baccarat. Yes.
Okay. Will you wear it tomorrow night?
Oh, of course. If the Knights want me to come to the game tomorrow wearing it, I'm in.
What do you?
I think there's something that we can just lean into a little bit. Again, karma. Like,
gotta be the, it's got to be the siren. Like, how phenomenal would that be?
I mean, if they want me to do it, I'll do that. If they need me to ride a Zamboni, if they need me to drive a Zamboni, I got it. You know, I'll get into a fight if they want me to. I'll hit someone on the ice. You know, I'll take out Evander Kane.
I'm not allowed to drive the Pope-mobile. So do you think the Zamboni would
yes.
be a difficult transition, like to jump back behind
slower.
The wheel?
It's a little bit slower. And you know, I've been driving my whole life. I mean, now that I'm the Pope, I don't think I have to anymore, but, you know.
So, okay.
At least they got to give me a gas card or something.
So bring me back to the decision to buy the costume. Like, what was going through your mind? And you said you didn't have any, like, real.
It was before the Pope was selected.
Yeah, yeah. But you didn't really have ideas of what you were going to do with it.
I was laying in bed and I couldn't sleep and I was on Amazon. I just started buying stuff.
Do you do this often?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because that the Pope outfit, that's unique. What other goofy things have you bought at 3 a.m.?
Oh God, I can't even tell you. I don't even know. I've bought some costumes before. I got a couple different funny costumes. I'm pretty well known for doing some goofy stuff. I have a panda costume. I went to Tao Beach with a lemon outfit a couple years ago. Oh. It was lemon shorts, lemon shirt, and I had a fake lemon tree with me. And I was telling people that I was an organic seedless lemon farmer, and I sold the Venetian all the lemons. So, you know, I've got some pretty good costumes that I bought over the years, just come up with some funny ideas.
It's the coolest costume I've ever seen at a VGK game because of the timing. Have you dressed up for a VGK game before?
No, I never have before.
Wow. What's the Pope's favorite player on the Vegas Golden Knights?
Oh, Aiden Hill. I mean, the guy's a monster.
I like that.
And I like say Theodore too, but you know, I played defense when I played soccer, so I like a good defender.
Has the Pope ever played hockey before?
No, but I feel if I strap on some skates tomorrow, I might be able to do it.
No, nobody actually thought that you were Leo, right?
I mean, I'm starting to think that I am. I'm starting to believe it.
Now, here's the cool, fun part of this entire experience is Dave, a.k.a. Pope Leo, is actually, in real life, mm-hmm. Chapman's next-door neighbor. And we found out about this because Chapman saw you in the parking lot and said, hey, were you at the game last night? And you guys connected. We worked on Chapman for 3 days to get in touch, like knock on your door, leave a sticky note, whatever. He wouldn't do it. We had to bully him into knocking on your door. Are you that bad of a neighbor, or is he that neighbor that he didn't want to introduce himself?
You know, we just never really, like we're neighbors, and we never really, like, talk that much. You know, we both have dogs. He's got dogs that look like they're going to eat people. You know, they're the cutest, sweetest dogs, but they look like they're going to eat people. And yeah, I mean, I told him, I was like, oh, absolutely. You know, when he asked me, he's like, I got a weird question for you. Were you at the Knights game last night? And I was like, yes. And I started laughing. And he's like, you were dressed as a Pope. I'm like, yes, I was.
Do you think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship between you and Chapman now that you guys
absolutely
know,
you know, hopefully the dogs like each other. You know,
do his dogs bark too much? Like, do they
no,
do they annoy
my dogs bark more than his dogs. My dog barks if like someone walks down the hallway, but then they have like a chorus of barking when all the dogs are barking at once. It's pretty incredible.
Were you a little bit creeped out when he said, I got a for you?
No, I was more weirded out by the note on the door this morning at 8 a.m. when I was walking out. I was like, oh, my God, what is this?
That's what, he put a sticky note in your door, right?
Yeah, he put a note on the door with his business card. But I didn't know that it was him. I still didn't know that it was him. So I was just like, who just, like, found me and didn't message me on Instagram but, like, came to my door?
We do things old school on the VGK Insider Show. We are very much like you were elected with the white smoke and stuff. We're just ahead of that technology. So, to the point that Chapman's the only one still using a business card.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Wait, hold on.
When was the last time you used a business card, Dave?
Business cards?
Yeah, I have business cards, but I don't know if they're gonna. I don't know if the Vatican's gonna give me business cards. I think they're gonna do one of those dot things on my phone.
Once again, if you go to the game tomorrow night, you will wear the outfit.
Yeah, I'll be in the outfit tomorrow night. Yes.
Okay. Do you know where you're sitting?
I will find out. I will tell Chapman.
Okay, we gotta find you. We got to find you.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on tomorrow, but just from, again, good vibe standpoint, here's the thing. If you ever went on the – I don't want to tell you how to do your business, sir, but Sir Pope, if you ever went on the Nitron or and you've got the outfit on and you wave – because you had a nice wave too. You had a very excellency, or I can't remember.
Eminence.
You had a very eminent wave. If you were doing that and then you opened your shirt or gown to reveal a VGK logo, that would be pretty cool.
I'm
not telling you how to do your job because you got other things to worry about too. But we could use a little bit of swaying of the spirits.
I mean, yeah, I you know, we're going to blow them out these last three games.
Attaboy.
You know, everyone thinks McDavid's going to make it to the cup, and we're going to shut Canada down real quick.
That tequila holy water. Let's go get him, Tommy Eppolito, and hide the
out. Yeah, Tommy Eppolito, that guy's a real gem. He's a great golfer too, but you know,
I was telling these guys, one day, if you haven't played golf with Tommy Eppolito, you don't play golf.
No, not at all.
He's everywhere.
I don't play golf, but I've been invited out, which is wild.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe the Pope will go out with him.
That would be awesome.
Tommy, when he's not running hide, he just plays golf with NHL players. I mean, that's what he does.
It's amazing. I want to be him when I grow up. But I'll play golf with the two of you with you and that. That's cool. We got to fly, but congratulations. It was one of the neatest, best timed, well executed performances I've ever seen by a fan at a sporting event. And it just so happens that you're Chapman's next door neighbor, and we really appreciate you joining us on the VGK Insider Show, and enjoy tomorrow night as we force a game six.
Thank you guys so much. Go Knights.
Go Knights. There's Dave, a.k.a. the Pope.
Yep.
The Holy Father. His wild. Holiness. Now, I'm not
just
Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and I apologize to anybody that does. Certainly followed that religion to the lengths that make you devout. I am sorry if we offended you with that, but we're trying to have some fun and we're trying to get some spirits online. Well, we had spirits with the tequila and the holy water.
The Golden Knights are looking for three straight wins, so.
I might go to church more if there's tequila in the holy water.
Oh, boy.
Tell me you wouldn't.
Well, I do go.
But would you go more if there was, like...
No, I go as much as my schedule allows, for sure.
Draft
100%.
That was fun. Good for Dave. I can't wait for tomorrow night now. There's so much happening around Game 5, and now His Holiness will be back. We'll continue with one-timers, news notes from around the National Hockey League, plus a playoff update when we continue on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for one-timers.
One-timers.
A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League, brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
Amazing show. Like, normally, John Shannon is the highest-ranking official that appears on the VGK Insider Show. But today it was totally different with Dave. Dave the Pope. I love the fact Chapman's that he's going to go back to. And he's Chapman's neighbors. I got a text. Is everybody in your neighborhood some kind of character?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so
it's like Seinfeld.
Okay, so like who do you have? Because you got nicknames for everybody.
Yes. Well, we had a guy who recently moved out that we referred to as Popeye.
Hmm.
Because he was this kind of old, kind of grumpy guy. And he looked a bit like Popeye. Short. And
well, that works, yeah.
Yeah. And
did he
bald.
Have big forearms?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Did he carry around a can of spinach?
No, but he had like some kind of naval tattoo on his arm. So it was
okay.
So fitting. And he would get drunk and walk up and down the hallway like mumbling. And he sounded like Popeye. So not only did he look like Popeye, he sounded like Popeye too.
Did Popeye get hammered all the time?
No.
Only on spinach.
Oh, so you're not relating this guy
totally
being drunk.
Totally
to
irrelevant.
Popeye being drunk.
No.
Totally irrelevant character of Popeye.
I missed that part. I was
no,
like,
it was
he,
just that when he kind of mumbled.
I didn't know Popeye liked to pound him back.
Well, I mean, maybe he did. I don't know. But, I mean, he was married to olive oil, so maybe he did like to pound them back. But
what are you saying about olive oil?
I don't know. But we
you got yourself
olive
in
a oil was a nice lady.
Now,
what are you talking about, Chapman?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll leave it at she was a nice lady. But
like, is Big Bird in your neighborhood?
No.
Any Muppets? Fozzie Bear?
I liked Fozzie Bear. Waka, waka, waka.
Of the Muppets, he's the best.
Yes,
for sure.
He is definitely. His jokes were killer.
Playoff update brought to you by Centennial Subaru, US 95 and Ann Road. Be the boss at Centennial Subaru. Only one game in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight, and it's a swing game. Game 4 between the Stars and the Winnipeg Jets. Dallas up 2-1 playing Game 4 at home.
Yeah, it's the Dallas Stars are up 2-1 in the series and 1-0 in the game. Mikael Granlund on the power play from Thomas Harley and Jason Robertson, 8:36 of the first period. The only goal so far in this one, and the Dallas Stars are looking, obviously, for a 3-1 series lead, and they got
that's not even the biggest story. The biggest story is they got Miro Heiskanen back. He's played for the first time since he was hurt in Vegas.
Yep. That was the we finished each other's sentences. That's you're right. Miro Heiskanen back.
You kind
of
buried the lead there.
You wanted the scoring update. I gave you the scoring update.
You buried
leading
the lead.
Into Miro Heiskanen being back.
See, we're going to get you excited. We're going to get you back on track. I feel like we've made a little bit of progress from the opening of the show at 4 o'clock. Like you're a little more lively. I think Pope Dave gave you some inspiration there.
We're
going to get you by
4 o'clock
tomorrow night. Yeah. At TD Arena, you're going to be telling me to get pumped up. We're going to get you
no,
going.
No, that's not possible. You live in a constant state of being pumped up.
I'm excited about tomorrow night.
Who wouldn't be?
But it's a big game.
A
lot of times, elimination games are nervous and anxious riddled. Tomorrow, I feel like it's going to be the opposite. Let's just go out and win it and bring it back here after game 6.
Yeah, I mean, I think I made the argument yesterday on the post-game show that, you know, when you are in a do-or-die scenario, like when your backs are against the wall, you have to win to keep your season alive, a lot of times you can play a little bit looser. And it seems counterintuitive. It doesn't seem like that makes a lot of sense. But you don't really have anything else left to lose. So you go out there, you leave it all on the line, you play your best game to this point in the series, and if it's enough and you win, then you get to do it again. And that's really what you're fighting for. You're fighting for the opportunity to do all of this all over again then on Friday night in Edmonton. Backs against the wall, dig deep, find something, leave it all out there, and then if that's enough, you have a game 7 in your own building. It's an opportunity still. That's how I'm looking at it.
One thing that I want to caution people against offering up this narrative, Edmonton was very aggressive around Aiden Hill. An extreme. Now, Aiden got in the way a couple of times where maybe he didn't have to, but But it was no doubt a very conscious strategy to get involved with him. And yeah, they went right over top. And I've heard a couple of people say Vegas got to do the same thing to Stuart Skinner. I think to a point, like traffic and making sure that he's watching or seeing the puck, but don't get too aggressive. Like Edmonton took penalties yesterday because of that contact on Aiden Hill.
Vegas just didn't capitalize on
those chances. If you do that to Stuart Skinner, you take penalties and all of a sudden they're on the power play and that happens. So be wary of calling for that approach.
I don't like the idea of going in there and employing the same strategy that Edmonton had, but I do think the Golden Knights need to do a better job of getting to Stuart Skinner, getting to the front of the net. Like, there's a difference between going to the front of the net, looking for tips and deflections and second opportunities or even that kind of stuff, versus going in there and just trying to make contact. So from that perspective, I'm not looking for the Golden Knights to run into and bump Skinner all night long, but I am looking for them to get to the inside. I am looking for them to get secondary chances, and I am looking for them to make his life a little bit more difficult, certainly than it was in game number 4.
I wouldn't mind some pokes and some digging at pucks in and around a whistle. I wouldn't mind that, but if you're going to make contact, you could draw a penalty or take a penalty, which would be bad. And the other part is you don't want to be putting yourself in a position for a goal to come back. Mm-hmm. That would be the real kick in the pants that if you go too over the top. Now, I think everybody wants more proactiveness, taking more initiative in the offensive end. That certainly has to happen, but not to the detriment of what you're trying to accomplish.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think the Golden Knights have to have the mentality that they're going to get to the front of the net and that they are going to be buzzing around the crease within reason. And I don't get the sense that they're going to go in there with reckless abandon. I do think that they're going to go in there looking to make plays and win battles, but I don't think it's going to be reckless from Vegas in that regard.
I would take some abandon over it last night, but you don't want to, if you had your choice.
Let's get there first, and then we can worry about how reckless or not they're going to be.
The Toronto Maple Leafs and the Florida Panthers will gather in Toronto tomorrow night for game 5. Does it spill over from the nastiness in game 4 of that series? Because there was a lot of things said between the benches and then the players on the ice after the Max Domi hit on Sasha Barkov. I don't think this is one that just goes away and doesn't live up to the anticipation. I also have no illusions that there's going to be 3 fights off the face-off like we saw at the Four Nations, just because there's a Kachuk involved in this game. Mm-hmm. I don't think that happens either, but I think it's still going to be a hard, dirty, physical, fierce game.
The way that I view it is the same or similar to John Shannon. If that game, if the temperature, if the physicality, if the nastiness is dialed to another level, it's advantage Florida. And going into Toronto, trying to win a game on the road in this series, I think that is to their benefit. Plus, they're the ones that feel slighted. They're the ones that are pissed off at the hit from Max Domi on their captain and Sasha Barkov. So do I think it's going to spill over? Absolutely. Do I think it's going to be Four Nations type of spillage? Not quite, but I do think there's going to be a response physically and a response from a nastiness level from the Florida Panthers.
I like where Florida's game is at. I really do. Yeah. And I thought they were close in games 1 and 2. Toronto was able to win those games, but Florida kept it close. They just allowed a lot of goals. The offensive part, it's a little different than what Vegas is going through right now, where I don't mind the way they're playing as a whole in their own end, but they need to create more. Florida has done a nice job of creating, certainly in the first two games, but were loose defensively. The perfect game in game four to even the series should give them a lot of confidence, and they're just bigger and badder than the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I understand what Max Domi was trying to do the other night. I would have still whacked him for a game, but I don't know whether that group of Toronto players can get into the trenches with the likes of the Florida Panthers.
There's a reason the Panthers have been to the Stanley Cup final 2 years in a row. They are unfazed by the physicality of the playoffs. In fact, they will bully you whenever they feel like it. And if you poke them, if you poke the bear, you're going to have to figure out what that means for you the rest of the way. The Leafs have poked the bear. They've rattled the cage. And the Panthers certainly came through with big victories in games 3 and 4. They've gotten better as the series has gone on. Sergei Bobrovsky has gotten better as the series has gone on. It's a pivotal game. It's a huge game for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but there's another level to the Panthers. They're battle-tested. They've been through it before, and they just have more experience in these types of games than the Leafs do.
Is there an animal that you can poke and not be afraid that it responds in a vicious fashion? We don't want to poke the bear. Mm-hmm. Is there something that we can poke?
I'm not too worried about poking the bear.
That's fine. Poke.
Yeah.
What's that animal?
Poke a cat or a dog.
No, my cat. Attention. Look, you don't want to see my right arm right now.
Billy? Really?
I'm not poking Billy. Billy took a chunk out of me this morning.
Well, that's wild.
Maybe like a hedgehog or something.
You can't poke a hedgehog.
Something small and cuddly.
Are you kidding?
Like a gerbil, chipmunk.
Do you want to get rabies? What are you doing?
Don't have to fear. And let's go wild animal.
Wild animal?
Yeah. Ooh.
What about a sloth? Probably poke a sloth.
Sloths are vicious.
I don't think so.
No, they are.
And they're so slow, you could get away before he was able to tear you
to shreds.
Think
that.
Again, you don't have to be the fastest. You just don't want to be the slowest.
Right. I think I could outrun a sloth.
That'd be a good
bet. Chapman, if you poke the sloth,
yeah,
because they're going to be hanging out in a tree, and they just fall onto you, they will rip you to shreds.
Have you ever seen the video of the sloth swimming? Like there's like apparently I think it was one of the BBC Planet Earth videos. The sloth was swimming through the lake. It was the cutest thing. Loved it. I want one as a pet.
You know how people like their dogs start looking like them?
I would love to have the long arms and be able to.
There's something there with you, Chapman.
Yes. Well, they're cute and cuddly.
I wasn't going there.
Oh, well, I'd like to assume that's where you were going.
You gotta thank Pope Dave for us, okay?
I will.
All right, we'll get back with catching up with Chapman as we continue on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
Best part about Pope Dave joining the show is he lives next door to Chapman. And Chapman still couldn't book Pope Dave on his own. We had to get in front of it and convince him to bring Pope Dave on.
You know, I'll say this. I want to spend like an hour or two at Chapman's facility. Just walking around, yeah. Taking it all in, seeing the sights. Make it happen, Chapman.
Okay.
I feel like there's some old TV stars from the 80s just walking around there, too.
Oh,
still in sitcom.
Yeah, gossip. Speaking of old TV stars from the 80s, Antoine texted in. We were talking about Muppets. He said, no, the best Muppets were the two old men up in the balcony.
Stadler and Waldorf.
Yes. By the way, had to look it up. named after Statler Hilton and Waldorf Astoria. So that's how they came up with their names. But yeah, old 80s sitcom stars there.
They're not half bad. They're all bad.
Yeah. But the funny thing about the Muppet Show, because I like to watch, I used to watch it when I was little, like little, when it was on before, like it went into syndication. And now I think it's still on Disney Plus, and I used to watch it when I first got to Disney Plus. And I realized watching it, I had zero idea who any of the guest stars that they brought on the show, because I was so young when that show was still airing, and I didn't know who, like, Joel Grey was, or I think they had I'm trying to think of her name.
He didn't know who she was.
Exactly. Yeah.
How could you remember?
Yeah. Was it Francis? I don't remember. But the only one I did know that they had on was Mark Hamill. Like, I remember Mark Hamill was on an episode of The Muppet Show.
I remember John Denver being on one time.
Yeah, I did know John Denver. Okay, so two people, but.
You're the worst. You're the absolute worst.
Darren, name one other person, and I'm sure Chapman will remember.
But what?
Okay,
really,
I knew three people.
What really resonates the most about that show was the fact that my parents must have been terrible parents, because there were so many adult jokes in the original Muppet Show, and here they are sticking this like 5-year-old in front of the old television on Saturday nights, watching the Muppet Show, laughing. Not understanding any of the jokes, but as I go back and watch them as an adult, I'm like,
But that's the great thing about the Muppets. It's like, it's teddy bears, so kids like it, yes. And then it's adult humor, so grown-ups like it.
Yeah.
I don't know whether there was that much adult humor, though.
It's not like South Park.
Yeah.
Or South Park.
Yeah,
come on.
I mean, Family Guy or Futurama.
Yeah.
Good
now
show though,
roll.
And
now
and you turned
go.
Out. You turned out.
I did turn out
well.
To be okay. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
You turned out well, buddy.
I love that show though. It's so funny.
You gonna go swing by Pope Dave's house and
I may
go grill
because now I know what he does for a living. I definitely need to become a little more friendly with him.
He's a good dude.